It's something that the U.S. and other countries have struggled with, reconciliation after historical racism. South Africa had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission after the end of apartheid, but here in the U.S., efforts are less coordinated. So places like schools and colleges have been trying to figure out their own ways to bring their diverse communities together. Many have hired specialized administrators to handle diversity issues. The world's Rupa Shenoy spent time with one in Macon, Georgia.
The pictures taped to the door of Tonya Parker's office are of her years in college in the 1990s.
Look at me from when I was a student. Look at this, the computer. People laugh. The students are like, oh my gosh, that's a computer. Like,
one picture is of her and her roommate, In Jung Lee, from South Korea. A few weeks after they moved in together, Parker remembers Lee suddenly turned unfriendly. Parker asked what was wrong, and finally Lee said she'd heard things about black people from another student.
She had informed her that she needs to be cautious rooming with me, and she needs to make sure that she doesn't leave all her stuff in the room, and she's saying all this, and I think I was falling apart on the inside.
This was at Wesleyan College in Macon, a private school started in the early 1800s for upper-class white women. It became known for its international students in the early 1900s, after three sisters from China enrolled. One, Sung Mei Ling, went on to marry Chiang Kai-shek, the founder of Taiwan. There's a picture of her in the Wesleyan archives, sitting on some steps with other students, and they're all lined up in the shape of a K.
She's holding a K.
That's a K as in Ku Klux Klan. It was part of the identity of the school. Some of the yearbooks from the time have that on the cover. African Americans weren't admitted to the college until the 1960s, but now the all-female student body of about 700 students is 40% women of color and 15% international students. Wesleyan proudly says local students can experience the world just on campus, and that's why Tonya Parker came here. She eventually reconciled with her roommate after long discussions about race and American history. But there were still Wesleyan traditions that made Parker uncomfortable. Like once, another student woke her up and led her outside for a ceremony where everyone was wearing Klan-like hoods. Parker managed to slip away. She graduated and went on to do diversity and inclusion training for the Girl Scouts of America. Wesleyan recruited her back as an assistant dean of diversity and inclusion in 2016.
All right. Good evening, everybody.
One of her jobs was to hold diversity discussions. Students learn how to disagree constructively. She teaches them a series of steps. First, someone says something that upsets you.
How dare you say that? Okay, they will start saying these things to me, and I'll say, Hope, that's interesting.
Be intentional about saying I heard you. Then ask questions. Listen to the answers without being defensive. Final step, provide information. The semester these sessions began, Donald Trump was elected president. Tensions rose across the country and were felt on campus. Wesleyan made the local news. The
students here say that they felt targeted by racist messages they found on their dorm room doors and walls when they returned.
One of those things read, "Go away, immigrant, hashtag Trump." The racial slur is so vulgar that we can't show you on air.
A few months later, Wesleyan again found itself in a media spotlight that left the campus reeling. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution published a story that reported an open secret. The school had historical links to the Ku Klux Klan that it had never formally acknowledged. It pointed to a practice students started in the early 1900s of giving every graduating class a name and color drawn from KKK culture.
It was the Purple Knights, the Golden Hearts, the Green Knights, and then the Red Pirates.
Junior Anna Marmalejo Rios is a student facilitator for Parker's diversity discussions.
A lot of people don't know. I didn't know when I got here.
That was all linked to the KKK.
That's senior Stacy Rice, another facilitator. She's retired from the military and came back to school.
Once that came out, then it was
problematic.
Yeah,
for everybody.
Yeah, because it was a lot of discord around the campus. I mean, they couldn't keep sweeping it under the rug. They had to address the issue.
Students and alumni whose families had been attending Wesleyan for generations argued the class names were a cherished school tradition, no longer connected to their origins.
Some of the students are like, well, my grandmother was this, or my grandmother was that,
so
I want to be, yes, more like tradition.
Students talked about it in Tonya Parker's diversity discussions and came to a consensus that the class names, because of their KKK associations, should go. Parker remembers it as a difficult time.
I remember sometimes leaving the campus and I felt like my stomach was in knots. I didn't think I was going to make it because it was so much just tension.
Administrators could keep the class names or get rid of them, and by doing so, condemn the school's history. Matt Martin is a Wesleyan assistant provost and English professor.
The purpose of a Wesleyan education was to educate women who would promote white supremacy. That was what it was for. And so to move from that foundation to a college now where our entering class has more non-white students than white students is a huge transition.
Martin says the administration decided Wesleyan needed to break from history. Last summer, they got rid of the class names. When this academic year started, each graduating class was only able to keep an identifying color. There is a view on campus that that change is silly and unnecessary, and I tried to get a hold of students and alumni who feel that way, but they didn't want to talk. Matt Martin says beyond a freshman orientation, students at Wesleyan don't have to take part in diversity and inclusion discussions.
It's a real challenge, I think, particularly, to be honest, for our white students. Often they can see these kinds of discussions about race and class as things that are threatening, things that make them feel guilty.
These kinds of things have been studied by places like the Southern Poverty Law Center. They recommend diversity discussions be worked into all classes and are not just the responsibility of a few administrators. For now, diversity discussions are a step in the right direction because they make students of color feel heard. And that seems to be what's happened at Wesleyan.
Because we have these different spaces, it provides students the opportunity to discuss, you know, how they feel.
Local student Jalen Dickerson is a senior psychology major.
I do think they are trying, and I also think that they know that if they don't work as a student body, we will make sure that the word gets out.
And that's why Tonya Parker has stayed at Wesleyan. Getting rid of the class names was a significant step. Parker says in at least one case, a parent said they were removing their student because Wesleyan wasn't the place they thought it was, and administrators let them go. But Parker still does face opposition from people who get defensive or aren't open to seeing things differently. There are new clashes on campus every day that cause her anguish. But for Parker, for now, the progress that's been made is worth it.
The students, when I could hear that they were changing in the way that they said they felt about things, it's like, okay, Wesleyan, you all are doing something. You do care about us. And then I know that the work has been paying off, and I feel really good about that.
The question for Parker is what happens now, if progress will continue? For example, will Wesleyan force all faculty to take diversity seriously? Parker says the school's actions will determine how much trust she and students of color have in institutions to change. For The World, Rupa Shenoy, Macon, Georgia.